Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. In Canada, when you go to a restaurant, when you go to a hair salon, it is proper etiquette to leave a tip. This has been, you know, the way it's been for decades here, less different in other parts of the world, but here in Canada, that's kind of the drill. Nowadays, though, it seems like we're getting prompted to leave a tip everywhere. And recently, delivery services like DoorDash, this is the one that's getting most of the PR, are prompting you to leave a tip even before that service happens. DoorDash is testing out a warning to customers, letting them know that if you don't leave a tip, you may have to wait longer for your order. So today we're going to talk about tipping with Mike von Massow. He is a food economist and professor at the University of Guelph, and he joins us today from Guelph, Ontario. Hello there, Mike.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What was your reaction when you heard this thing about DoorDash, that they're testing this warning so customers will know that their order may take longer if they don't tip? What did you make of it?
Well, I'd like to say I was surprised, but I've become numb to some of the things that are happening in tipping culture today. And essentially what they're doing, they're doing this warning because my guess is they've gotten complaints from customers who said, my service is really slow, my food didn't get here, and all of those sorts of things. And they then looked and saw, they either talked to their drivers or they looked at their files and said, these people aren't tipping as much. And so our contract drivers aren't working as hard for them. And so they're doing the warning, frankly, to reduce the risk of an unhappy customer because of a failed delivery service. So to me, it's not surprising. It's disappointing. What it tells us now is that we have two-tiered delivery from DoorDash. Yeah. If you pay the top dollar, that is, you tip, which is no longer a voluntary thank you. It is a fee in advance. If you pay the top dollar, you'll get great delivery. If you pay the low dollar, you'll get worse service.
It sounds very much like the difference between Highway 401, which is free for all, lightly congested at best, and the Highway 407, which for those people who don't live anywhere near Toronto, is a toll road north of the city. You pay an arm and a leg, but boy, you blast across the city much, much quicker. So I think you're right. That two-tiered notion is a way to describe that. Is this the beginning of a trend?
Well, I think there's a few things to keep in mind here on tipping. The first is that we're seeing, as you said, a wider range of places asking for tips. We're also seeing an increase in the amount that they're asking for, where it used to be sort of an unspoken rule that it was around 15%. Now that we're seeing it on these payment machines, we're getting nudged higher and higher. But to me, this is now saying, well, tips aren't voluntary anymore at all. You used the 401, 407 analogy. I was on a flight last week and you could use first class and economy as the difference. And the difference is no longer a price difference, but it is a quote unquote tip difference. And so to me, this is organizations trying to change the tip from this social norm to an explicit part of the price we pay for services.
It is not a tip. It is a tax. It is largely a tax now.
It's a fee.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you're an economist. There is typically an inverse relationship between increased prices and decreased demand. Now that we are seeing effectively a price increase in so many areas of our spending pattern, do you think that will lead to a decrease in demand for some of these areas in which tipping has become not optional, but a fee on top of and a mandatory practice?
Well, I think it's a great question. I think there's a couple of things going on here. I think the first one is we've got companies trying to separate separate the price so that we don't think about the total. We think, oh, this is what it's going to cost us. And that tip becomes an afterthought, whether it's voluntary or not. So by splitting those prices, they try and mask these price increases. The other sort of benefit for the company for calling it a tip rather than a fee is that it means that companies don't have to pay payroll taxes on it, right? They say that's a tip, that's a nice voluntary interaction with that customer and our independent, or even if it's an employee in a restaurant, that money goes direct and the restaurant doesn't have to pay EI or CPP, or most of them are small enough they don't have to pay employer health tax, but so it saves them some money. And so there's their motivation both in terms of masking price increases and maybe reducing costs. But I think for sure that we're seeing people sort of push back. They're you know, food prices are up generally, so we're seeing food service probably down a little bit just because that's one of the first places we change our behavior relative to to buying, to spending money on food. And so we'll see decreases in demand, which increases the incentive to sort of split those prices to make it less obvious, like resort fees when you go to a destination. The other thing I think is happening is not just a price response, but sort of a pushback where people are saying, you know, I'm not comfortable with how much you're asking for. You know, the psychology research is pretty clear that our last experience is often that what sticks with us. And many of us are saying, oh, they're asking for that much money, or they're pushing us for that much money, that it's leaving a bad taste in people's mouths. So I think there is the price effect, that demand decreasing effect that you outlined. But I think there's also people pushing back and saying, look, you're just asking for too much. I'm either going to decrease or I'm going to go somewhere else. So I think companies have to be careful with how far they're pushing people here.
Now, we know that a lot of people who work in the gig economy, which is where, so I mean, we're talking about DoorDash off the top, and that goes for any of the other delivery options out there. These folks have a hard time sometimes making a living wage, given that they're paying all the increased prices that everybody in this country is paying. What are the alternatives? So if there was, because a lot of people like me, I'm happy to pay the money. I just don't like the way it's being served up. I'd rather it was just included in the price and I don't have to think about it, because I don't like tipping in categories in which it is counter to the practice that we've known for decades. What are the other alternatives to increase the probability of these humans earning a living wage that isn't this particular way?
Well, it's a great question. And I think what you've got is the issue of a fair pay, both for the gig economy workers, like these delivery people are often independent contractors, quote unquote, but also for people who are earning minimum wage in server roles, in kitchens, or in other places. We've got this sort of disparity, and we between individual customers. So in the end, I think there are lots of people like you and me who say, I'd rather just pay for the value you're creating for me, the service experience, the food experience, and have those of you who are either delivering my food or serving my food or cutting my hair or doing whatever get paid a fair wage, and then we know what it is and we don't have that uncomfortable feeling at the end. The problem is we have this transition because most of these organizations are small companies. And so if you are a restaurant that says we are going to go no tipping, it's usually not the customers who are unhappy with that decision. It is sometimes the staff. Clearly, right, Everyone thinks they are better than everyone else, so they think their earnings are above and beyond. And we already talked about taxation. I think that's a real thing. So it would be, to me, one option is to pay people for the value they create, and charge us as consumers more for it. Now, people are worried that that will decrease demand, and it might. But what we're doing is we are essentially lowering prices. We're asking these individual workers to subsidize our experience, and the companies don't want to pay them, and we don't want to pay. So at some point, I think a reasonable alternative would be to pay these people more, include it in the price, and just make this a lot easier. You know, and it works, frankly, for places like Amazon. I don't get asked to tip my Amazon driver. Right. I don't get to ask to tip the guy who delivers the beer from the microbrewery that I like to order mine from. So clearly some companies have made it work and pay these people fairly and in a way that they can attract those people to work for them.
Really interesting stuff. Mike, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Mike von Massow is a professor and food economist at the University of Guelph, and he was here to talk about this ever-changing tip culture that we live in particular, the starting off point, this news from DoorDash that you're going to get prompted to tip before your service even happens. It's a test, but I don't like it.